Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room. You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. This is the first podcast episode that we are doing with brand new lighting, brand new audio, brand new mics, same old video, but I am in the process of getting a new video camera. You know, it's all a fucking process. Am I right? I realize that I'm behind a few episodes. This podcast is supposed to be a weekly podcast, but life gets in the fucking way. As you'll recall, I've had several house woes, the most recent of which is garage leaks. My garage is leaking every single time it rains, and it's always been leaking. Like, it was leaking whenever I saw the property, and that was one of the things that I put in the contract that needed to be done before I moved in. But alas, we are still here. And the other day, I was going into the garage just to do a little laundry because the washer machine and the dryer are located in the garage. It's quite hot, but it's manageable. Anywho, I was going to wash my clothes, and I noticed when I was walking to the washer that there appeared to be some dirt on the wall. And that was very curious because that wall had been painted stark white before I moved in. So I'm like, how could dirt be on this wall? After further inspection, I realized that it is actually mold. Pause for reaction. There is mold growing in my garage. You know, when I discovered this, I actually didn't freak out at all. I was like, you know what? Whatever. Just email the landlord, let him know, and we'll just go from fucking there. Maybe it's not even mold. I knew it was mold. I mean, come on. I practiced hurricane litigation for a considerable amount of time back in New Orleans. I know what mold is. I've seen some mold in my days, okay? So I had a mold expert. That's what we'd call it in the biz. I had a mold inspector come out last night, and he confirmed my suspicions that there is, in fact, mold growing in my garage. So we're just going to go from there and see what happens. Like, what else can you do? It would do me no good to get upset or get aggravated about this. I just have to go with the fucking flow. I think I just spit on my new mic. Sorry if you heard that. Even though my new house is located only like a mile from my old house, the neighbors feel vastly different. As in, the neighbors over here are so friendly. They're talking to me all the time. I've met several of them. I speak to several of them in the morning when I walk my dog. Something so embarrassing happened the other day when I was walking Sadie. Okay, so there are spiders everywhere. I've told you all that. And the spiders grow overnight, like their webs. They weave their webs overnight. And even if they get destroyed in the morning, they weave them back in every single night. So every morning you have to be prepared to walk through many spider webs. That is, if you're walking on the sidewalk. If you're walking in the street, you can avoid it. However, I have never encountered this problem before. So Sadie, 13-year-old Sadie, has only walked on the sidewalk, and when I tried to walk her in the street, she refused. I mean, what do you want me to do? She's got to pee and poop. I mean, she can't do it in the street. So she prefers the sidewalk. So that's what we have to do. And I just have to stick my hand out in front of me to, you know, guard against the spider webs. Well, one morning I was walking Sadie and I was going around on a sidewalk, and it didn't even seem like this would be a place where a spider web would be, because it was vastly like open space. And as I'm walking around the sidewalk, I see a gentleman walking down the street, not walking on the sidewalk, walking in the street with his dog. Oh, and every single dog in this neighborhood is like a fancy dog, like a rich dog. Like, definitely all these dogs are purebred. But Sadie, she, you know what? She is just a pound puppy, and we love her. Honestly, those are the best kind. She's 13 years old and acts like a little puppy. So I don't know. I mean, not saying these dogs aren't cute. They're adorable, but I like my pound puppy. Anywho, he's walking down the street with this big poodle, not a small poodle, a big poodle, and like fluffy and black and gorgeous. And I'm walking, I'm like, hello, good morning. And then all of a sudden I walk face first into a huge ass spider web. And the guy sees me, and automatically, like whenever you hit the spider web, it's like you've been clotheslined. So you like lean back immediately. And I'm like, wiping my face and like trying to get the spider webs off me and like hoping that there's not a spider on me. And the guy was like, oh, you gotta watch out for the spider webs. I'm like, no shit, Sherlock. I'm like, I know. But I was like, sometimes I forget. And I was like, that was a big one. He didn't say anything after that. I didn't get his name, though, but that's okay. I don't want to like be like too friendly. You know, I don't want people like trying to come over and shit, because I will pretend like I'm not home. Anyways, so I met the neighbor across the street. His name is Ralph, and he was very lovely and very nice, and he has a dog. Oh, his dog was named Scout, which was really, you know, kind of special, because my brother's dog's name was Scout, and she passed away last year, so I was like, aw. But Ralph, he's like, next time I see you out, I'll come over with my wife, Birdie. I'm like, okay, come on over with Birdie, Ralph. He was really nice. And then I met my next door neighbor, and he is cool. I really like him. So he's an older gentleman, and so there's a woman who lives at the house, but she lives in the back house, like a separate apartment in the back. And I get like a brother-sister vibe, but I'm not sure. You know, you never can tell. One thing I have noticed about my next door neighbor, though, is that he always cracks his windows in his car. And I'm like, why the fuck does he crack his windows in his car? It makes me think that he's cracking his window just because he smokes cigarettes or something like that. Like, why else would you crack your windows? I don't know. Anyways, so the other day I was outside and he was doing yard work, and we were just like, oh, hello. Madison was with me. He's like, hello. And he was like, hey, he's like, my name's Mikey. I'm like, oh my God, I love you. Something that he did before we met, this was like weeks ago. So either I had ordered food delivery or Madison had ordered food delivery. Somehow we got food delivered. And the person who delivered the food did not speak English, but had something to say. And we couldn't figure it out. But he stayed like in my front yard, like trying to say something to me. And I guess it looked like there was someone bothering me. And Mikey, he came down the street. That's his name, Mikey. He came down the street in his car. I guess he was pulling up right at that same moment. And I was closing the door because the conversation was over. And he was like, can I help you? To the person who, the delivery person. They weren't doing anything wrong, but I can see how pulling up, it would look like it was an unwanted visitor. And I just thought that was so nice. I just thought that was like, he didn't even know me. He didn't even talk to me. We hadn't even met at that point. And he was already like looking out just to make sure that there wasn't someone who was trying to gain access to us in some way. I really appreciated it because it wasn't like overt. It didn't cross a line, but it just felt like he was looking out for us. He told us the other day, what was he doing? He was mowing his grass. And I was like, oh, you're doing some yard work? He was like, oh, yeah, pretty good for someone in their 80s. I'm like, okay, Mikey. So he's in his 80s, and he told us he has a bar in his house. So I figure that's going to be like an invitation, and I kind of feel like we might become friends. That's what I'm really hoping. I would love to become best friends with my 80-year-old neighbor. I mean, that would be fucking awesome. I wonder what he's doing. Let's go get Mikey. Maybe I'll have him on the podcast. I bet he has so many stories. Okay, I can't get ahead of myself because we just met. I can't overdo it. Don't be weird, Lindsay. Just like, whatever. As I'm sure everyone has heard, Kendrick Lamar will be playing the halftime at the Super Bowl. That is so major. And it's so unexpected in the best way. I've expressed at length on this podcast how much I adore Kendrick Lamar. He is a poet. He is an activist. He is trying to improve society as a whole. And quite frankly, his music got me through one of the hardest times of my life. When right after I got married, I went into a full-on fucking depressive episode. And I'd always liked Kendrick Lamar, always liked him. I remember that I read an article on NOLA.com that said that his new album had come out. It was Mr. Morale and the Worldwide Steppers. And the article was not a favorable review of Kendrick Lamar's new album. And I was like, damn, that's weird because Kendrick Lamar is a critically acclaimed artist. People who know good art like Kendrick Lamar. That's a fact. And so it was so surprising to me that he was getting a negative review from a journalist. So I was going to a deposition in Mississippi, and I think I didn't have anything on the plane. Like, I didn't have anything to watch. I didn't have anything to read. And I think when I was sitting at the gate waiting for my plane or waiting to board, I downloaded his new album on Spotify. And I was like, I'm just going to listen to it on the plane ride back to New Orleans. I think I mentioned this before, like the very beginning of the album, it's like piano notes. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And Kendrick goes, I've been going through something. And I was like, oh shit, this is for me. This is for me. Because my ass was going through something at that time. And I listened to the entire album on the plane ride back. And I was impressed. I was like, what the fuck? This dude who wrote that article at NOLA.com has no idea what he's talking about. This album is really fucking good. And after listening to that album, I honestly listened to it on repeat, the songs on repeat for months. I do that. It's like a sign of anxiety where you'll eat the same thing over and over again or watch the same thing over and over again or listen to the same thing over and over again. I do that. I become obsessive with stuff. It's almost like very comforting. And I just keep doing it over and over and over and over again because I know it's a sure thing. I used to say this about food because we're like, there's this one restaurant in New Orleans called Saki Cafe, and I would get the banana roll every single time. In fact, it's not even on the menu anymore. But it's basically a Lindsay special. There is a code in the POS system of the restaurant, and you can order a banana roll with cream cheese and no rice. It's a Lindsay special. I fucking love that so much. But I would order it every single time. And anytime I was with people, they're like, you order the same thing every single time we come here. I mean, for years, over 10 years. If I go to New Orleans, wait, when I go to New Orleans in December, oh yeah, people, I'm coming back to New Orleans in December for a few days. Got to get my CLE credits, got to eat at my favorite restaurants, got to see my people. Anyways, so when I go in New Orleans, I will be going to Saki Cafe. It's on Magazine Street. Do not confuse it with Saki Cafe in Metairie. They are not the same. Saki Cafe on Magazine Street. The Lindsay Special. You're welcome. Anyways, when the people would, you know, point out that I was eating the same thing every single time, I would say, you don't mess with success. Why the fuck would I venture out and order something else when I know for sure, 100% sure, that this sushi roll with cream cheese, because I know that's controversial, Tressie, but this sushi roll with cream cheese is gonna hit the fucking spot for me. And it does it every single time. So why would I switch it up? Don't mess with success. You know, I haven't really found those places in Miami yet, like that comforting food. I haven't found like a really comforting dish. There was a sandwich that had my attention for a month or so this summer. It was a prosciutto sandwich from a place that's literally called Sandwich, but with like a little apostrophe in the middle. It's pretty damn good. But I don't know. I got over it. And I feel like the bread, the French bread, was so kind of rough that it would like scrape the top of my mouth. And so, I mean, coming from New Orleans, it's very hard to... The standard's high. Let me just say that. The food standard is very high in my book. So it's hard. Also, I haven't really ventured out all that much here. You know, I kind of made a decision the other day. All right. So I've been saying that, you know, why would I go out to eat by myself? Why would the fuck would I get dressed up to go eat by myself when I don't have anyone to go with and I'm just going to go? Yeah. I think I am, because I was processing that the other day and I was like, you know what? I'm still telling myself that I'm not good enough on my own to go out to eat to dinner. I'm still saying in my brain, I'm still reinforcing that idea that I need somebody to go eat with me in order to have a good time. And that's just not the fucking case, because I have a good time with myself all the time. Like, I'm a fucking hoot. So I made the decision the other day that I am going to date myself, because I've been telling myself, like, why would I get all dressed up? Why would I put on an outfit? Why would I put on makeup? Because it's fun. Because it's romantic. Because it livens up life a little bit. It fucking switches it up, you know? So I made the, I think, a very realistic goal to take myself out on a date once a month. And what I was going to do is I was going to look up, you know, have they all those, you know how there's like all those lists out there of like the best restaurant in Miami or whatever. I was going to look up the best restaurants in Miami to go on a solo date and then just tick off the list. And then I will take myself in an Uber. I won't even drive. You know, what I thought about doing is ordering like a special notebook, like a little, like a beautiful notebook. I love an office supply. I love a school supply. And I could just go to dinner and I don't have to have a fucking four-course dinner, three-course dinner. I could just order whatever the fuck I want. Be it soup, be it an appetizer, be it tapas, be it maybe even just dessert. I also could have like two cocktails and it would be fun. It would just get me out and about, because although I really like my neighborhood, if I'm going to flex these fucking wings, I'm going to need to go out. You're right. Like, I'm going to need to go out in Miami. And not like out, like not like nightlife because I have a bedtime. But, you know, I'm still a young bitch. I still got a lot of miles on these tires. Like, I don't need to hang it up yet, right? I also feel like I'm in a very healthy healing place. I've been doing a lot of work on myself. Oh, I cut back on therapy. That's a big deal. My therapist, Brandy, was like, you know, you probably don't really need to come to therapy like all that much now. And I was like, I know, but I still want to like talk and stuff. And she was like, okay. I was like, well, how about we go every other week? And she's like, you know, you really could do less than that. I'm like, I don't want to. I mean, she's still such a great, unbiased person that I can tell everything to. You know how like you have different aspects of your life, but you don't tell all of that shit to certain people? Like you shield people from certain shit because they'll have an opinion or they're like, talk shit, or they'll be grumpy or whatever. They'll be fucking haters. Like you don't talk to them about that. But with my therapist, I can talk to her about anything and everything. And it's really funny when she gets mad about something. Like if I can tell like her getting pissed off when I tell her something that's happened, and she like pissed off like on my behalf, and it makes me laugh and I love it. Shout out to Brandy. I love you, bitch. Okay, Kendrick Lamar, Super Bowl. A lot of people are pissed off about this decision. Lil Wayne's pissed off. Nicki Minaj is pissed off. Master P is pissed off. Okay, here's what I think. Lil Wayne is a legend, an icon in his own right. I don't take that away from him. I'm a big fan, always have been. And people are saying that Lil Wayne should be the Super Bowl act because the Super Bowl is in New Orleans this year. Who dat? I would like to see a Saints Super Bowl if we're wishing for things. So people are thinking because Lil Wayne is from New Orleans that he should have been the halftime performance. And, you know, he's qualified, et cetera, et cetera. I'm all for that. However, when I learned that Kendrick Lamar had been selected as the halftime performance, I was like, holy shit. I think this is the first time in history that a rapper, a solo rapper, is the headlining performance. Sorry, I just had to burp. If there were ever bloopers of my podcast, it would just be of me burping because I burp nonstop. I heard the other day that burping is actually a way of your body releasing energy, like negative energy. That's what I'm going to go with. I'll spare you the burps, but just know I'm hella gassy. Not in the gross way, but just like burpy. Anyway, Kendrick Lamar, Super Bowl halftime performance. This is a big deal. And Kendrick Lamar has had a fucking year. I don't even think I have talked about this yet, but he defeated Drake at Drake's own game. Kendrick Lamar put out a fucking banger that everyone loved. It was commercially successful. It is mainstream successful. And that's not what Kendrick Lamar is even striving for. That's what Drake strives for. Sorry, Drake. I like Drake. Don't get me wrong. I like Drake a lot. But Kendrick has gone beyond the limits now. Kendrick has pushed past his own boundaries. Kendrick is now on top. He has had a hell of a year. So it makes sense that he would be selected for the halftime performance. And I don't know who all knows this, Jay-Z took over the halftime performance, I think it was in 2021. And ever since he has done that, it has been fantastic. The halftime performance has been fantastic the past few years. Like really, really good. I think Kendrick performed either last year or the year before when it was in Detroit. And I don't remember what he performed, but it was really good. He was part of the performance. I think it was like Snoop Dogg, Eminem, 50 Cent. Like it was great. Was Rihanna last year? I very much enjoyed that. I think it was. Was it? I don't know. Anyways, I can't wait. I cannot wait. I have actually been I've been coming up with like fantasy halftime performance playlists in my head. Maybe I'll do that on Tidal and I'll share that if anyone wants to hear my halftime performance fantasy playlist. I don't think they've announced that anyone else is going to be performing with Kendrick. And so people are saying that Kendrick should bring out Lil Wayne. I don't know how I feel about it. I could see it being possible, but isn't it awkward though that Kendrick defeated Lil Wayne's protege Drake in a rap battle and then Kendrick would be bringing Lil Wayne on stage? I mean, unless we could have a reconciling moment with Drake there too, I don't see it being like a thing, right? Like, even in the song Not Like Us, that was the anthem of the year and probably beyond, even in that song, Kendrick talks about Lil Wayne going to jail and Drake sleeping with Lil Wayne's girl while he was in jail. So I don't know. I don't know. How could you have him in the Super Bowl performance when you're kind of, he's a lyric, you know? Also, another thing, I have a question. Love Kendrick's music, but if we're talking about the FCC and national television and broadcast television, there are rules. And I'm curious to know if Kendrick's going to be changing his lyrics or maybe just selectively using parts of songs that don't have as many swear words or anything that would get an FCC fine. Or is he just going to fucking go for it? And then there's going to be someone at the FCC with the mute button at, like, sweating balls, right? That could be a thing. I need to go back and watch the past few performances and see how that was handled. I don't know. Ever since Janet Jackson's titty, you know, it's always been a thing. Okay, let's talk about Real Housewives of, fuck, which one is it? Oh, OC. Let's talk about Real Housewives. Is it OC? Oh my God. Is it OC or is it Beverly Hills? It's OC. You guys, I've kind of been having a very weird relationship with the Housewives shows. They once were my anxiety comfort shows, and now they are not hitting the same. It's not the same as it used to be, and it's giving me, I'm just sad about it because it's not like, it's like I'll watch it and I'm like, this is fucking terrible. It's just, I can't stand the overproduction. I can't stand people editing themselves to be like wacky and weird. Like, for instance, Emily is like, oh, I'm just going to talk about food all the time. Oh, where are the tacos? Like, we get it. You like food. Me too. I just think she just leans into it. And she leans into it because she gets positive reaction from it and whatever. I also think Gina's accent might be fake. That's not nice to say. It's probably real, but okay, I'll just tell you this. The other day I was watching Real Housewives of Orange County and Madison was walking by when Gina was speaking and she was like, holy shit, what is that accent? And I'm like, she's supposedly from Jersey, but it's like a mix between Jersey and Valley Girl. And it seems hyper exaggerated, but you know what? God bless her. I have an issue with Bravo and Real Housewives of OC currently. And my issue is that they keep trying to make Teddy Mellencamp happen. Stop trying to make Teddy Mellencamp happen. It's not gonna happen. What am I talking about? So, I'm a few episodes behind, but in one of the episodes, the ladies are apparently going to like some place to play a game or something like that. And they're all dressed up in like Scottish attire. And we're like, huh, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? And then we realize that they're doing a play on the Traitors. The Traitors game starring Alan Cummings. The king of Traitors is Alan Cummings, with his outfits, with his sleigh, with his dog, with his binoculars, and his accent. And the way he throws down those picture frames and they break, ugh, I love him. I want to be his life partner, if I'm being dead honest. Alan Cummings, give me a call. Anyways, so they go, I guess, to this house and they're going to play a Traitors game. And as the ladies are waiting for the game to be revealed, out walks the bitch that no one wanted to see, Teddy Mellencamp. And this bitch is trying to be Alan Cummings, but she's given bootleg ringmaster from the circus, okay? She's wearing a cropped, like, blazer oversized. It's too big for her, but I think it has, like, tails in the back. She's wearing these high-waisted tan pants, and it's just not fucking working for me. Stop trying to make this bitch happen. She is not gonna happen. Ugh, and she has a cane. No, bitch. You could never be Alan Cummings. You could never. Okay, I'm also not feeling Tamara this season. She's just being too fucking mean. She's calling Shannon out about drinking. I mean, she's calling her a drunk and an alcoholic. And quite frankly, Tamara, you're not qualified to make those calls. She's also heavily stirring the pot. She's doing exactly what she did right before she got fired. I cannot stand people stirring the pot. It's like they have no loyalty. I get it's a show. I get it. They're supposed to be on a show. But I just don't like it. And it loses a lot of its believability when you immediately go and talk shit to another person. I just can't stand it. I can't stand it. I honestly think Tamara shouldn't be on the show anymore. She is treating Shannon very, very poorly. And you guys, I am not somebody who has, oh my God, I just said you guys instead of y'all. You guys, y'all. Oh, I'm losing the southernness. Me and Madison, side note, me and Madison decided the other day that the one distinguishing factor, the one thing that you can tell that we are not from here, is that we say y'all all the time. And I have to almost like stop myself in text messages because it is so clear that I'm not from here because I use the word y'all. I know it's probably not a Florida thing. It's probably just a Miami thing. But yeah, y'all is very telling of where you're from, and it ain't Miami. See. necesito aprender español. That means I need to learn Spanish. I'm doing a lot better at Spanish, I gotta say. I'm like learning some shit. Some shit is sticking. Okay, back to Real Housewives. Shannon. I feel really bad for Shannon because, as you all know, or maybe you don't know, but last year, Shannon was involved in a one-car accident where she got a DUI. She apparently was leaving her boyfriend's house, John Jansen, hate him, leaving his house. And I guess they got in a fight, and I guess she was like, I'm going to drive. And I don't know if she had, oh, she did have Archie, the dog, in the car. And she got arrested after hitting a house. So, but she was like, she was in the car for like a few seconds. No one got hurt. Super embarrassing for her, right? And listen, Shannon has definitely leaned on alcohol in the past, but she maintains that she does not have an issue with alcohol and that she is not an alcoholic. She did go into some sort of like a treatment for a short-term treatment, but she still drinks. I don't think anyone who's not an addiction specialist is qualified to even speak on someone's sobriety like that. And Tamara's like calling her an alcoholic in front of everybody. And it's mean. It's malicious. And she's like, I just love you. Bitch, no, you don't. You do not love her. You would not treat someone you love like that. So I would be like, love me less, honey. Love me less. Maybe just shut the fuck up and don't say anything to me about me. What is it? Keep my name out your mouth. Alexis Bellino. She is this season's villain. Nobody likes her. She is coming across so poorly. I kind of feel bad for her that she, you could tell in the most recent episode that she's like almost starting to crack, because she said that, I didn't even realize this, she like met John soon after she got broke off her engagement. He obviously was in a relationship with Shannon and quickly got into a relationship with Alexis. They're now engaged. Okay, honey. They ain't getting married. They are going to live their life living on Jim Bellino's alimony payments. They ain't getting married. And John Jansen suing Shannon, he is making himself look like a complete douche, which he is. That's who he is. He broke up with Shannon the day after they started filming, and then they started dating right before filming picked up again. He is thirsty. He is giving Brooks. Is that what his name was? Brooks, the one who faked cancer. He's giving Brooks. He wants attention. It's narcissism. I really like just don't like him. I don't think he should be on the show at all. So Shannon offered to pay his demands of $75,000, and he still refused because she said apparently there are Ring camera videos of Shannon almost hitting John Jansen's daughter right before she got her DUI with the car. And I'm assuming it was with the car. Huh. Don't even know. Whatever. So they keep saying that these videos are going to ruin Shannon's life and her reputation. And so Shannon was like, fuck it, just settle. And I want the videos. And they're saying, no, we want some insurance that Shannon is not going to go nuts. What? That's insane. That's fucking insane. He also wouldn't sign a non-disparage clause. And as an attorney, that is standard. It's standard. John Jansen, you're a fucking tool. And you're making yourself look worse than Shannon ever made you look. Just know that. Alexis, he will never emotionally fulfill you. Know that. God, I'm funny. The episode with the traitors theme, never do that again. Never besmirch the good name of traitors and Alan Cummings ever again. You tried, it didn't work. Oh, you know what? I did see the most recent episode of Beverly Hills. I will say this. I think Heather should have been a little bit more empathetic with Emily regarding the jeans and the not being able to fit into the clothes of the fashion show, or like that's what she was assuming, and singling her out. Heather is a little stick thing, and she just has no idea what it feels like to be in that position. And even if she doesn't know, I feel like she should try to understand Emily a bit more. I feel for Emily a lot, and that was hitting on a very big wound for her. And like, they told her to bring jeans, and she was the only one who was wearing denim, and everyone was wearing black. Why the fuck didn't they just tell her to bring black jeans? Someone wasn't thinking. Someone wasn't using their brain. I'm not talking about Heather because she probably wasn't in charge of it, but someone dropped the ball. And they should apologize to Emily, because this could have been easily avoided if they were like, just bring black jeans. Like, if they don't have pants that fit, they don't have pants that fit. That's okay. That is what it is. But making her be so stand out so much in front of everybody, I just didn't think it was a good look. And I thought Heather came off rather cold in her interview when she was discussing this. So yeah, I'll just have to wait until the next episode. It's an okay season. When I saw the Traitors episode, I was like, I'm not watching this show anymore. Is this what you got? This is terrible. This is fucking terrible. But I kept watching it. God dang it. So I have some very exciting news to share. I am going to be a Pilates instructor. Woo! So I've been going to Pilates for like 9 months now, and I've felt great benefits from it, not only physically, but mentally. And I've become very good friends with the owner of the studio, Julia, and she was putting on this teacher training. And I kind of realized that, or she really pointed it out for me, that it would be very good for my LP Rich business to meet people and network. And the people who really go to Pilates are kind of my key demographic. So yeah, it's like multi-beneficial, because not only will I be able to teach classes, which I think would really fulfill me in a way that I am not fulfilled right now. Like, remember last year when I applied to be a professor at a law school, and I was kind of in the running. I didn't get an interview, but they kept corresponding with me. Anywho, when I applied, I started thinking about how I do like teaching and I do like helping people. And now I'm going to be teaching classes, and I have so many ideas about themes for the classes, and maybe doing like certain music for the class and doing like full moon classes. Can you imagine a full moon class? Damn, that would be so cool. Like full moon and new moon classes. So I'm really trying to get to be the best version of myself. Another thing that I started actually this morning is doing somatic exercising. And it's like where you essentially do these small exercises every day. And the program that I'm on right now is 60 days. Apparently, the exercises will, kind of go and move energy, stored trauma that you have in your body. And it releases in some way. And they really say that you cry a lot. So the teacher said that the release of crying doesn't usually happen until the third week. So I will let you know. But when you see it on social media, the ads, it's like these bitches sitting in like a frog pose crying. Not that it's funny, but it is kind of funny. I'm like, what the fuck? If you don't have the sound on or there's no writing, you're like, what is this bitch doing? Why is she so sad? So we'll see. I will keep you posted on that. Oh my gosh. I don't know if y'all heard this, but Rachel Zoe, who was married to Roger, I don't remember his last name, Zoe apparently, they are getting divorced. That is very sad. See, I had a lot of, like if I was looking at a couple, because they had a TV show that I used to watch, The Rachel Zoe Project, and it was bananas. When I watched that show, I was like, oh my God, they seem like the perfect couple. They go all these fucking festivals and Grateful Dead shows, and their first song was a Grateful Dead song, and they're just so like into it and ethereal and hippie, and they have two gorgeous kids and they're Jewish and I love them. And I'm like, oh my God. So they would have been like kind of the perfect couple for me. And they work together and they live together. But, you know, what we see ain't really the truth. I can speak from experience. What people portray is not usually what's going on. People are really good at putting on a facade, myself included. Anyways, so they are getting divorced now. In the article that I read in Us Weekly said that there was no scandal or no smoking gun, but that it was death by a thousand cuts. I wonder how long it took them to come up with that copy. Rachel Zoe noted that she and Berman, oh my God, his name's Berman, Roger Berman. She and Berman's number one priority has been and will always be our children. She stated that the pair are committed to co-parenting our boys and to continue working together within the many businesses that we share. So I guess they're going to still be working together. Good for them. I mean, maybe they've just transitioned into friends. Maybe they're consciously uncoupling like Gwyneth. I loved the Zoe Project. Was it the Rachel Zoe Project or the Zoe Project? Whatever it was, I loved it. I loved seeing Brad Goreski on it. what if we brought back Brad Goreski and Rachel Zoe and they had a show again? Do we think that could happen? I don't know, because Brad's kind of like a big name too now. So I don't know if that would really work. But, you know, I'm really proud of Rachel Zoe, because it's okay to say that this isn't working anymore. It's okay to say that you want something else. It's okay to say that you want something more. It's okay to recognize that this current situation that you're in isn't doing it for you. That's okay. And I think that we all feel like, I know it's a society thing, it's like a shameful thing that you get divorced. Maybe it's in the South, but more in the South, but I don't know. But I'm proud of her, because if it's not working, there ain't no reason to be unhappy. There's no reason to stay unhappy. And to be with someone you don't want to be with, that sounds fucking awful. Okay, so some more exciting news is that I had my first photo shoot for LP Rich, and it went fucking fantastic. Let me tell you. In the spirit of entrepreneurship, I was the model. Pause for reaction. And Madison was the photographer. It was a family fucking affair. And we shot it at our house. We talked about it for weeks, months really. And I spent weeks sourcing props, sourcing accessories, coming up with concepts, checking the lighting, just figuring out the spaces that would be the best for the photos. And I will say, it came out really fucking good. Like, it looks like it could be in a magazine. And I could not be happier. Madison and I had so much fun doing the photo shoot that I was pretty concerned that I wasn't getting the shots that I wanted. I was concerned because it's not like I was stopping and being like, wait, let me review these to make sure we're getting them. We were just having fun, dancing, listening to music. I did have a little meltdown in the morning, but I almost felt like I had to get it out of the way. You know what I mean? It was just a lot of pressure. It was a lot. I guess I know that a lot was riding on it, even though I told Madison, I was like, I don't even want us to act like this is for a business. Let's just try and get the, you know, most, let's just try and have a great time and get like artsy photos. Let's just try and make cool photos. Let's not even worry about this being on a website, being on social media, anything like that. And really, that's what we did. I'm so thrilled with it. I cannot wait to share it with everybody. I think y'all are going to be surprised, honestly. I think you're going to be like, holy shit, this looks like professional. I'm like a professional. Good for me. And I think that I really picked the best time to do it too. So I chose to do it on Friday the 13th. People have always said that Friday the 13th is a very unlucky day, but I think that it's the exact opposite. And when I started looking into it a little bit more, I was correct. The number 13 holds a very significant purpose for women specifically. So we have 13 moon cycles in the year, and a woman typically has 13 menstrual cycles in a year. So it's a very feminine number. I was so glad that we did it on that day, because it just felt like we had all this extra energy pumping into the photo shoot. There was some weird shit happening. So I literally wrote on, I think I told you all this already, but I literally put a sign on my fridge. It was like, you are a fashion model for the next 2 weeks, so that I wouldn't snack excessively. I didn't, you know, I like to snack. I like snacking. And that doesn't lend itself very well to being a model. And I'm sure y'all are thinking to yourself, Lindsay, why would you even need to show any skin? Well, stay fucking tuned, bitch. Oh my gosh, I read somewhere that NARS is coming out with the original naked palette. I still have my original NARS naked palette from the last time that they sold them. And you bet your sweet ass I'm going to buy another NARS palette, naked palette. I really like the the eyeshadow that's called Naked. It's like a really great, like it's just a little darker than my skin tone. And it's a really nice, like neutral, clean eyeshadow to wear like on the daily. So I'm really excited to get that. In fact, I'm going to go today as a reward to myself because I actually recorded this podcast. I've had a lot of anxiety about recording the podcast because I'm in a new space with a new mic, with new lighting, with new furniture. Everything's new and I don't really have a lot of furniture. So I'm really making do with what I have. I took a picture of my setup for today and I will post it on social media. So you can really see what I'm working with. I mean, this is like behind the scenes at the Rich Room. We are professional as fuck. That is it for this episode of The Rich Room. Please follow my social media at Lindsay_Sobel and follow at The Rich Room Podcast. You know, leave us 5 stars if you're feeling frisky. I love that. I love 5 stars. I'm serious and I'm going to be more consistent about podcasting. Now that I've gotten this one under my belt, I feel like the fear factor has been broken and I know that I can do it. Let's keep this shit going because I'm just getting started. Bye, y'all.